why don't we turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 17. Gospel of Luke chapter 17. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We come and put this time aside for you tonight. Pray that, Lord, your Spirit will be with us and moving amongst us. And, Lord, illuminate us and teach us. Lord, we pray that, Father, we may see our Saviour in another light or be reminded of who he is, that, Father, we may love him even more. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All throughout the Gospels, we have story after story of Jesus and his dealings with various people in all walks of life. And we have evidence after evidence of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and how much he loves others. And tonight I want to look at one occasion where the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is seen and the extent that he has and how he is no respecter of persons. And it's seen in the life in Luke chapter 17. And we see various things as we go through this of evidence of the love of the Lord Jesus. It's when he meets 10 lepers and the various circumstances around there. And so we're going to go through it verse by verse. But we'll look there, start at verse 11 of Luke chapter 17. It says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." And now we can stop it there and you think, well, that's nice information. But that alone gives us a little bit of an indication of the love of the Lord Jesus that he had for others. You see, it was common for Jews not even to go through Samaria at this time. Samaritans were hated by the Jews immensely, and vice versa. They were neighboring countries, but they certainly didn't have a liking for one another. Now, this had been entrenched in the Samaritans and the Jews for centuries at this time, and it came due to events that happened around about 700 years prior to the Lord Jesus even coming to our earth. Way back when Israel had been broken up into two kingdoms. If you know your history of Israel, there was a time when you had the northern kingdom that was referred to as Israel, and then you have the southern kingdom, which was referred to as Judah. And around 700 years before the Lord Jesus came, the Assyrian army came down and they conquered the northern kingdom. And they slaughtered thousands upon thousands of Israelites. And then they took many back away to Assyria as well. And they left just a few in the land. But they didn't just leave it barren. What the Assyrians did was that they took people from all various countries that they had conquered and they placed them in the land instead. And so here was this place that once was Israel. Now it was littered, so to speak, as the Jews would have thought of it, with Gentiles. And as time went on, these new nations married the Israelites that had been left there, and what you were left with is what we would call half-castes today. And so living in that northern part, that area of Samaria, were those who weren't Israelites at all, no Jewish background, and then there were those who had descendants of the Jews, but maybe a fair way back, so since 700 years had passed by this time. As well as that, the Gentile nations that were placed in there brought their own gods, their own form of religion, and so they worshipped all different types of beings and so on. And so you can imagine that the Jews who love Jehovah certainly didn't want to have anything to do with those Samaritans, and vice versa. In fact, the Jews considered them, in a not so polite way, dogs. That's how they referred to them. In fact, in their prayers, they would pray that when it came to the day of resurrection, that God wouldn't resurrect the Samaritans, but he would just annihilate them. That's how fondly they thought of them. God, just don't let them exist. Just annihilate them completely. And so when we read today in events of Israel and the Palestinians and how there's so much tension with the neighbours there, that gives us a little bit of an insight to how the Jews would have thought and vice versa in those days as well. And so the Jews, they wanted nothing to do with them. They certainly wouldn't have them into their house. They certainly wouldn't eat or drink with them. In fact, they wouldn't even talk to them. And that's why in that story of the Samaritan woman at the well, she was so surprised when Jesus spoke to her. That's why she said, "Why are you, being a Jew, speaking to me, a Samaritan?" That wasn't done. And then Jesus was happy to draw water and drink water and talk with her as well. That's why when that Samaritan helped that Jew who had been robbed, it was a wonderful picture of loving your enemy, because in any other circumstance, that Jewish man wouldn't have spoken to that Samaritan. Yet that Samaritan saw this Jewish man in that terrible state, and he cared for him and did all that he did for him. And so they had nothing to do with it. And most of the Jews, when they had to travel from north to south, or vice versa, they chose to go the long way around. So they would go the extra mile to make sure that they didn't have to meet any Samaritans. And so they would go the long way around and miss Samaria. Yet we see that Jesus didn't do that. He didn't go around Samaria. He didn't ignore them or despise them like his fellow countrymen. As their creator, he still loved them. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons, and that can mean various things, but one thing it shows is that he loves each individual with as much love. You can't say that he loves one more than the other. He loves all the same. From the Jewish disciples that followed him every day, to the half-bred Samaritan woman that he met at the well, to the little children that others despised and said to go away, to the dirty blind beggars on the side of the road, Christ loved them all. And I know he loves and will love anyone because he loves me. And so that is something exciting. And I trust you can say the same thing, that God loves even me. And he won't despise anyone, we're told, or cast out anybody who comes to him in faith. And the fact that he went into Samaria shows that Christ's love is for all. But what we see here is it goes even further. Because while he was there, he meets up with what you would have to say in this day and age, in that region, would be the lowest of the low when it comes to being socially accepted. Because it says there in verse 12, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." Now, if you think you've got a bad lot in life, I'm telling you, this is the worst lot in life I think you could get. These guys weren't just Samaritans, but they were Samaritans who were lepers. And in those days, it didn't get much worse. Yes, the Jews hated Samaritans, but everyone hated lepers. Hate in the sense they wanted nothing to do with them. No one wanted to go near a leper. Yet we see here the Lord is confronted by these 10 lepers in one of the cities of Samaria. And these men had no hope of having life on earth. They were sentenced to a miserable existence with a terrible end. They were the outcasts of the outcasts, unwanted by everyone. And they were basically living souls trapped in a body of rotting flesh. And so they were in a bad state. You know, as a young boy, my dad took me to Indonesia. And I still can't get those pictures of seeing like there's a little boy with no arms, no legs, just begging, having a bowl there. And next to him, I'm supposed, I don't know if it's his father or whoever, no legs and blind, begging as well. And you think, how could life be so terrible? And it is for so many, and that's in our day and age. And for these men, they were in a similar circumstance, but in some ways worse, because at least those that were begging that I saw had people to take them there and bring them back and so on. But when you're a leper, no one wanted to be near you. And you had to slowly just watch your flesh die before you and smell the rotting flesh until the disease finally took your life. And when you consider the disease of leprosy, the social standing that it brought and the sadness that it would have brought to a person's heart, it gives us a slight glimpse of what sin is really like. If you're not aware, leprosy is used as a picture of sin in the Bible in various places. It's a picture of a sinful man. And if you think a leper has no hope in this earth, well then, a sinner has even less hope, because they don't have any hope in this world and they don't have any hope in the world to come as well, which is eternal, which is far more destructive than leprosy. You know, sin is like a microwave. It cooks you from the inside out. And so you don't think you're so bad for a while until the effects start to be seen. But sin first destroys a man's conscience, their reasoning, their morality, their love, their decency. And then once that is decayed in his inner man, it starts to destroy the outer man as well. And if we want to be honest, when we look at all the sadness in this world, you can bring it back to being directly or indirectly due to sin in people's lives. When it comes to the various sins which destroy a person's body, it generally is because of a sin of some sort. When you see the destruction around, when you see murders due to anger and selfishness and jealousy and all the various things, the drunkards on the road and people being killed, whatever you want to put it down to, when there is sadness and sickness in this world, in one way or another, it stems back to some sort of sin. All the awful things in this life comes down to sin in one aspect or not. It destroys a man both on the inside as well as the outside. And although leprosy is, I suspect, a frightening thing, especially in the days of Christ, sin is far more destructive. But notice it says in that verse 12 that it says, "And the lepers which stood afar off." That's another thing we learn about sin from looking at leprosy. This is, it separates us from our God and the one who loves us. These lepers saw Jesus, but they were forced to stand afar off. They couldn't go close to him like others. They couldn't go and embrace him or talk with him or spend time with him. They were forbidden by the law at that time. The law of Moses forbade someone with leprosy to go anywhere close to anyone that didn't have it. And so they had to stand afar off from the Lord Jesus and watch from a distance. So even though others were walking beside him, others were talking with him, others were enjoying the company of the Lord Jesus, they were having to stay separated from him. And that's exactly what sin does. That's a perfect picture of what sin does to mankind. Sin not only destroys us, the inner man, and then the outer man, it also separates us from our Heavenly Father. As we're told over in Isaiah, where it says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." And because of sin, the sinner's forced to stand afar off from God. And that's sad, because that means that a sinner is unable to have that close relationship with the God of heaven that we were created for. They don't enjoy the comfort that God wants to bring. They're on their own, and I don't know how anyone could live on their own without having God there with them and the peace and the comfort that he brings. I've never really had to live a long time in my life without God and then have him in my life. Praise God, I grew up with the knowledge of the Lord and being saved young and so on. I know that when I was a rebellious Christian, I knew how empty it was like and how lonely it felt. But I hate to think what it was like to live without God from the beginning. And I wonder if you're here and you see others have the joy of the Lord, but you don't have it. You know, even in churches, people can come along, they can look like a Christian, act like a Christian, but they know that there's an emptiness inside, and they see others who are encouraged by the Word of God. They see others who are comforted by the Lord, and their relationship with the Lord seems so real. Yet you know that you don't have that. And all you can do is watch from a distance. Too many people think they're Christians, yet they know there's a distance there. Yet others know they're not a Christian, and they know why the distance is there, and that is they are a leper in the sight of God. That is, they are a sinner. And your sin is separating you from God. Well, we see in the following verses that these lepers, they were smart enough at least to want to do something about it and change the state that they were in. They didn't want to stay lepers. They hated the disease and what it was doing. And so we see that they cried out to the Lord Jesus for help. It says there in verse 13, "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" And so they cried to the Lord and they begged him for mercy. Notice they asked for mercy. They asked for kindness that they understood they didn't deserve. They knew they didn't deserve Jesus and his help and his love. They knew that they had done nothing to warrant him being kind to them. They were Samaritans. They were lepers. They had done nothing. Yet, if he was to help them, they understood it would be all due to love and mercy. And they asked for that. And we read in verse 14, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go, show yourself unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." And so, when they asked for mercy, Jesus said, "Go and show yourself to the priests." Now, you might think, well, that's a little bit of a strange thing. Why would he say that? Well, in the law of Moses, when a leper thought that they had been cured from leprosy, they couldn't just turn up out of the leper caves and come home and say, "Hey, I'm healed, all right? It's okay, I don't have it anymore." No, they had to have someone to certify that they were truly cleansed. And so what they would have to do is they would have to go to the priest, and the priest would check them over and see if they were truly cleansed of their leprosy. And if they were, then they would make a sacrifice, and that sacrifice would be in that process of cleansing, and they would be declared clean, and then they were able to go home and dwell with their family and friends once again. And these 10 lepers obviously believed that what Jesus said when he said, go and show yourself to the priest, they understood what he was meaning. You're going to be healed, and so go and show the priest. Now, I'm not sure when it happened. I'm not sure if it, as soon as they turned to go and show the priest, that's when they were healed, or it happened when they were a little bit off, down, and then they realized they had been cleaned. But as they turned and they went to do as Jesus says, we're told that they were cleansed. Their leprosy disappeared. And what we see here is that Jesus did love these lepers. Some, if not all, were Samaritans. They were all lepers who no one wanted to go near, yet he loved them, and he loved them enough to heal them. And you know, things are no different today when it comes to sin and sinners. God doesn't say, well, there's a group of sinners that I will be happy to cleanse and forgive, but there's a group over here I'm not interested in. He wants to heal all from that sinful state that people are in. And can I encourage you, if you know that you are far off from God and you're sick of being in sin and sick of feeling that dirtiness and that emptiness and that separation from God as you are forced to stand off, then all you have to do is to cry out to God in mercy and ask for that cleansing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will cleanse you as he did these ones. You see, Jesus earned the privilege to be able to do that by dying on the cross for all of us. And as sinners, all we need to do is cry out for his mercy, and it is there, ready to be given. And you know, I suspect that the life of these 10 men changed dramatically from that day onwards. Generally, when you're a leper, there were leper camps, often in caves, surrounded by other lepers. You weren't allowed to go into the cities. Generally, you had to stay on the outskirts. You certainly couldn't be with your family or friends. Yet now, they are cleansed. They can go back to their family. They don't have to go back to those smelly caves where they smell that rotting flesh surrounded by other lepers as well, and they can live a very different life. Not only that, they can now walk with the Lord Jesus if they want. Just like the rest of the crowd were walking along with Jesus and following him, they then can walk with him. They can talk with him. They can wrap their arms around him and hug him and thank him and do all of those things. They can walk with him and spend time with him and get to know Jesus even more, if that's what they chose to do. Now they had that leprosy removed. They no longer had to be separated from Jesus. What we notice, though, in verses 15 and 16 is this. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And so one of them did this very thing. He went to the Lord Jesus, glorified his name, fell at his feet, and worshipped him and thanked him for what he had done for him. And this was a Samaritan who, one Jesus allowed to be at his feet, but also a Samaritan who may have had things about Jews in the past as well. But notice, as we read on, and Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." As we know, 10 were cleansed. Only one returned to glorify the Lord and give him the praise and the glory that he deserved. 10 were cleansed. Only one began to glorify the Lord with his life. 9 out of 10 went their own way. I suspect they were very excited to go and tell their friends and their family, or maybe to do something that they've been wanting to do for a very long time. And you know, there are many who receive the gift of cleansing of their sin. And they receive that forgiveness from the Lord Jesus. But it is true even today, few go on to glorify the Lord in their life. Many get selfish, just like it seems these 9 did as well. Yes, they're thankful for their cleansing. But then they do what they want. And instead of coming to the house of God to worship Him, they'd rather go and do something else instead of worshiping God. Instead of spending some time in His Word where they can have a relationship with Him, now that they're not sinners and they can be close and walk with the Lord Jesus, they're too busy to spend time reading and praying to their Heavenly Father. They have a life where now they can glorify God, serve the Lord Jesus in many ways, but they're too busy serving others. Sadly, some even go back and live with their old leper friends in their old leper filthy holes with their old leper filthy clothes, and they choose to live the old life of a leper. How could you do that? Imagine these lepers. At least I suspect the 9 that went their own way, they didn't just get so excited they ran back to the caves where all their leper friends are. I'm sure they went somewhere where it was clean and do things that they hadn't been able to do. Yet how many people get saved and cleansed, yet they end up going back to what they were saved from? Now it's amazing, when the 10 were full of leprosy, they all were focused on Jesus. When they were full of leprosy, they all called Him Master. They all called for mercy at this time. But once they were cleansed, only one still called out His name and worshipped Him. When they were all sinners, all lepers, they all wanted Jesus. Once they were cleansed, only one wanted Him. And you know, I don't think the percentage has changed much, even so long since this time. Out of all who get cleansed, I suspect around about 10 go on and worship the Lord as they ought to. And this is something for you to consider. Are you one of the cleansed? Have you received that forgiveness? Or when God looks at you, He sees you as a leper who is forced to stand far off? Well, the first thing you need to do is be cleansed. And Jesus has made it possible by shedding His blood on that cross for you. But if you were a leper or a sinner, yes, but you know of that time when you received that cleansing as you repented of your sin and received that mercy from the Lord, can I ask you, which one are you like? Are you like the 9? Yes, you cleanse, but you've never come back to glorify the Lord. You've never said, "Lord, now that I'm able to be close to You, I'm going to stick by You for the rest of my life and I want to follow You to show me what You want me to do. I want to glorify You through my life." Or are you off doing your own thing? Or are you like the one Samaritan who came back and fell at his feet and worshipped? Well, the Lord makes it clear who he was pleased with. He was happy to cleanse the 10, but he was certainly happy with that one. Maybe it's time to stop thinking about yourself if you are one of the cleansed and come back to your Savior and say, I want to glorify you in my life. Show me what it is. Show me how it is. I was lost and I had nothing to live for prior to meeting you. Now I have everything. And so I'm going to give it all back to you so I can be used to glorify you. I trust that we all have that heart if we are one of the cleansed. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you know our hearts. You know how selfish we can be. Although you have done so much beyond we could ever ask for and deserve, and mercy has been shown, Lord, we can get so selfish with the short life that we have here and forget about eternity, forget about you and what you've done. Lord, I pray that we would be willing to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow you in any way, anywhere that you would have us to go, Lord. And help us not to be like that 9 who thought of themselves, but be like that 1, I pray. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.